And my name is Bill Wolf, and these are all the wonderful sponsors that makes it so that we can have these events. Certainly you should talk to them in the common area. So I am going to talk to you about how you would work with SharePoint 2010. A lot of this has to do with what a developer should know, but it also is geared towards general use of SharePoint and even why would I use a product like this. So just by a show of hands, you can't see this out in the live meeting world, but how many people are using SharePoint 2007 in some way today? Okay, so a lot of people know how SharePoint works. How many have worked with SharePoint 2010? Exactly like three. Okay, that's what I expected. So SharePoint 2010 has been in development for probably about 5 years. A lot of research has gone into this. SharePoint 2007 was the fastest selling Microsoft server application. So in corporate America, everybody's using SharePoint, and it's going to be even more true when we get to 2010. So the focus of this talk is what do you need to know as a developer or an analyst to prepare yourself, because there's going to be a lot of SharePoint stuff happening for custom solution development, document management, lots of other uses. So I'm going to do a lot of demos. In fact, that's the end of the slides. Small round of applause. Wasn't that fun? But that's not the end of the talk. So how am I actually going to make it so you can understand what goes on? SharePoint is big. So I'm learning, just like many are, and one of the tools I use is called OneNote. So here's a bunch of notes I have, and these are things I want to talk about. I know I could put these in slides, but this makes it more interesting. So a couple things. SharePoint architecture has changed dramatically. It must be running on a 64-bit system. This is going to be a challenge for a lot of people that have SharePoint today. In all honesty, you'd be better off with Windows 2008 R2 because of the upgrades in IIS 7.5. There is so much new technology here, it is going to take months, many months to learn it, either as a developer or an IT admin. So SharePoint is designed to do websites. It's designed to do portals. It does community involvement where you can do Facebook-type stuff within a corporate environment. It does content management. It does document management. And it is used heavily for both. There is a search engine built into it. It is not just desktop search. This is real industrial strength corporate search where you can store documents for 100,000 people and find them within a fraction of a second. It's used for insights. Insights means business intelligence, and there is a lot of stuff added to the product to support that. And from a developer perspective, one of my favorite uses of SharePoint is composites. If you haven't heard that word before, you're going to hear that a lot in the future. Basically, composite means you can build a custom application out of building blocks with little or no coding. Okay, but we got one yay in the house. That's good. You're going to see a trend going forward. You're going to write a lot less code because the code's already done for you. Your job is to learn when not to code. And to do that, you have to understand what all the building blocks are. Once you understand all the building blocks, then you can snap them together to build a solution. That's what composite application development is. And it's a really good market to get into. You don't have to know all the syntax of WCF or C Sharp, but you get paid just as much. Something to think about. All right, so if you're going to be a SharePoint guy or gal, you're going to need some tools. There are essentially five or six tools I have listed here. I'm going to show you some of them, but I only have a little over an hour. I can't show you the whole thing. Number one, there's a product called SharePoint Designer. SharePoint Designer was based off of what technology from the early or the late 1900s? Front Page. There was a product Microsoft had called Front Page. It was used as a clever way to edit websites. They took that, they tweaked it, and they made it so it was specific to SharePoint 2007, and they released it as SharePoint Designer. They tried to sell it. It didn't sell very well. Then they tried to give it away. And some people even wouldn't take it if it was given away. They completely re-architected the thing for 2010. It's, and I'm going to show it to you in a few minutes, a very different animal. Even if you're a developer, you need to use SharePoint Designer. There are some things that just make sense to do using this tool. In fact, if you're going to do composite application development, I would start with Designer and then do Visual Studio as a second choice. You can use Visual Studio. Visual Studio 2010 completely redesigned in terms of SharePoint use. I'll show you that briefly, but you can go in and make all sorts of custom code very easily. There's a lot of templates. There's a lot less manual editing that you have to do. And for the first time, you can even use things like SharePoint Designer, Visual Studio to develop SharePoint artifacts under source control using a product like Team System. So they've really made a big push forward in terms of corporate development. Also, very common in SharePoint 2010 to do high-end or rich application interfaces using products like Silverlight. So you would also want expression in your toolbox. I'm not going to show you in this particular demonstration how all that works, but anyways, so we want to get in and we want to start looking at a little bit about SharePoint, and we want to look at these tools. Now, to do that, we have to be able to run SharePoint. First of all, SharePoint 64-bit. So I have a laptop here. It has 4 gigs of RAM. It runs Windows 7 64-bit, runs like a charm. Should I run SharePoint on this box?
Yep. Only if you want to be old and gray.
Exactly. Thank you, Dan. And I agree. So it, even though it's technically possible to install SharePoint on a Windows 7 box, I would only do that as a demonstration or a very entry-level training tool, not for serious development. Okay, there are people that have laptops that have 8 gigs of RAM and they can get some more work done with it. If you do the kind of work I do, and right now I'm working on a SharePoint system that's going to be used by 250,000 people, you don't do that on a laptop. So you have to do that on, in enterprise class hardware. So what I do as a developer, I have machines at home that have 10 gigabytes of RAM. Those machines run Windows Server 2008 64-bit. They also run Microsoft Hyper-V. That allows me to create virtual machines and simulate anything I need to do. So what we're going to do as part of our demonstration, I use a system called LogMeIn. LogMeIn is a utility. There's a free version. There's a pay version. But that allows me to connect into my machines remotely. And I do have internet connectivity, so let's see how that's going to work. So let's see if I can refresh this list. Okay, so I have a machine here called 2010-dev, and I'm going to click on that one, and we'll see if it responds today. So far, so good. All right, so I have a couple virtual machines, and we'll activate that later. And hopefully people can see this at home. I'm going to go into full screen mode. I hope that this shows up okay. Looks like we probably need a different resolution. Let's see here. That 1024 would work better, right? Thank you. Okay, so this is just some virtual machine. So what are some of the tools I want to have if I'm a SharePoint developer? Well, first of all, when you install SharePoint, you'll see that it gives you a menu choice, SharePoint 2010 products. It has central administration, a management shell, and a products configurator. Most important one is central administration. Everybody has to work in there in some regard, even if you're a developer or a business analyst in SharePoint. You have to know what needs to be done in central admin versus SharePoint Designer versus Visual Studio. There's a new emphasis on this critter in 2010. The SharePoint management cell uses something called PowerShell. PowerShell is a command line language that is used to do sort of IT administrative tasks. I'm not going to show you that today, but just be aware that any SharePoint developer needs to learn some PowerShell scripting. So just be aware of that. Okay. Every SharePoint developer needs to know something about Central Admin. Central Admin is a web-based interface. And in this case, it looks like it's not coming up for me. Let's see. I wonder if this particular machine is going to work at all. Pretty funny. I didn't test this this particular virtual machine before I came, so I may switch back to the other one. Let me do that. So without boring you too long, I'm going to switch and I'll go back to my other machine because there's one thing I wanted to show you on this one, and we'll skip over that. All right, let's try this one. This one's the bigger one. So I have one virtual machine that I have sort of set up for development type tasks. And this one is set up more for demonstrating the SharePoint Server Enterprise features. So let's see how this one's behaving. All right. And check my resolution, go to 1024768, full screen, and we should be up and running. Very good. All right, so let's take a look at the menu here. Again, same idea. This machine has similar things. Notice that I have SQL Server installed because you absolutely must have 64-bit SQL Server to run SharePoint. I'm not going to go into the details, but that's a tool you want to have. You have SharePoint products, again, the central administration. You're going to do a lot of work with Microsoft Office, so you want all the Office tools installed. And absolutely, in SharePoint 2010, you want to use Office 2010 as much as possible because a lot of the products are optimized to use the new SharePoint. It is possible to connect using Office 2007, but if you want to do development, you want to do clever things, you want to do the 2010 products. All right, so let's go in and see what central administration looks like on this box. So, why is it hard to do this on a laptop? This particular virtual machine, I think, is taking right now 6 or 7 gigabytes of RAM. And this runs SQL Server. This is, I think, a domain controller, and it also runs SharePoint. Plus, I'm running Visual Studio, Office, and a whole bunch of other tools. Associated with this, there's a separate virtual machine that takes about 3 gigabytes, and that actually runs Exchange 2010, so I can practice email for workflows, and it runs Office Communications Server, so you can do like instant messaging from within SharePoint. So to get all that stuff and running, you need at least a 10 or 12 gigabyte machine. All right. So central administration is one tool you need to learn, and this has essentially this uses SharePoint as its interface. I'll talk more and show you more about that, but you can see it has all the standard menu things. It does workflows, but this is what an administrator would use, and what you want to do is understand web applications. Web applications equate to websites, so you'll notice there's one called intranet on this particular box. That's actually the one we're going to use the most. Notice that when I select an item from this list, it lights up the buttons in the Fluent UI, what most people refer to as the ribbon. So the ribbon, which you may hopefully know from Office 2007, is all throughout SharePoint 2010. It's used everywhere. And as a developer, you can create your own ribbons. You can customize and add your own buttons to a ribbon. Everything is done with XML. There isn't a lot of coding. It's XML configuration type stuff. Okay, so you notice you work with web applications, you find one, and then if you want to manage some of the features of that, you would just click on a button, and it brings up a form. Now, what you'll notice, it's a very common design or interface pattern. In SharePoint 2010, all forms do this thing where it grays out the back of the screen, and then it pops the form on top. That's getting very popular now on websites. And that way, I can click all I want behind the scenes. It's clear to me I have to finish this form before I'm done. So, that's a little bit about Central Admin. I'm not going to go into a lot of detail about how to administer applications. I just wanted to see you or show you a little bit about the tool. Now, the other tools I mentioned are SharePoint Designer. So let's go into the intranet for this particular demo application. So that's called intranetcontoso.com. And just so you know, I did not spend weeks creating all of this content for you. This is done by Microsoft. They released this. You can download this yourself and play with it all you want, as long as you have a 12 gigabyte machine. So you don't have one? I'm running on 9, but I have 2 machines, so I can actually like put one with someone another. So, anyways, if you want to get a copy of what I'm doing, you go and do a search, whatever search engine you want, and find something called the Information Worker 2010 Beta. Information Worker. It doesn't say SharePoint. It says Information Worker. 2010 Beta. Now, when you download this, you must have Windows Server 2008 R2 running Hyper-V. It is designed for that type of environment. This is for serious enterprise application development. But hopefully some of the stuff I'll show you in here will whet your appetite, and you'll say, gee, I need a machine to run that on. Now, just to show you quickly SharePoint Designer, if I were to take this site and click on here, Edit in SharePoint Designer, it actually loads the website into SharePoint Designer. And what's really cool about this new version of SharePoint Designer is it feels a lot more like a development tool. So when I click on a category on the left, notice it shows on the right all the different objects of that type. In fact, some of you that have done SharePoint development before, site columns and content types are extremely important. You now edit your content types in SharePoint Designer. You don't have to do them in the web interface. This is much faster. So, personally, I see the new SharePoint Designer as similar to SQL Management Studio, which is used to manage database objects. This has a lot more feel like SQL Management Studio than it did the old SharePoint Designer or Front Page. Okay, we're going to be using this more as we go along, so I'm going to minimize. I also mentioned Visual Studio. So if I go up here and I go into, I think I have it on the button down on the bottom. I'll go into Visual Studio. Now, you must, to get full benefit, you must be using Visual Studio 2010, not 2008. They're not going to take these tools and port them back to the older version. And in here, we can say, make a new project. When you make a new project, it brings up a list of templates. And one of those choices is to make SharePoint stuff. So you see, there's a SharePoint, and look at all of the templates here for things you can make. If you were doing work in 2007, you get that many. If you do 2010, you get this many. Big difference. So, for instance, if I wanted to make a project of a web part, I would just select that and click OK. It goes out, reads the template for Visual Studio, and builds a solution for you. It says what websites you want to go to, and I'm going to say finished, and it actually connects to SharePoint, figures out what libraries and lists and things are available, what permissions and stuff you have, and it actually builds a solution for you, and you can do a lot of interesting things with these solutions. Now, the goal of this talk is not to teach you how to do Visual Studio in SharePoint. It's sort of surveying all the different tools. This is one of many. But if you are a seasoned developer, if you're, you know, not afraid to do C Sharp, Visual Basic, then this is a good way for you to go. So if you look on the right-hand side, it's very clever. They actually have an interface now for you to build your features. Features are a way of deploying things to a SharePoint farm. They also have a way for you to create packages. Packages take a number of features and put them together in some stuff that you can give to the QA guy to load to the server. And of course, you can make web parts. In the web parts, you can go into design view. You can actually drag things from the toolbox. Now, I'm not going to finish a web part here, but suffice it to say that it has made all these templates and all the guidance is going to make SharePoint custom development much, much easier in the 2010 timeframe. With that said, oddly enough, there is so much you can do in SharePoint 2010 using Office and composite application development techniques that I think people are going to actually code less than they do in 2007, even though the coding is much easier. So it's something to be aware of. So if you want to be a SharePoint developer, this isn't necessarily the place to start. It is a place. You'd be much better off learning central administration first, then SharePoint Designer, and then get into Visual Studio later. All right, so we're not going to actually build, even though you really want to see me build a web part, that's not what this talk's all about. So I'm going to throw that away. What are some of the things you can build in Visual Studio? You can build visual web parts. You can build content types. You can build event receivers. There's a whole bunch of things, custom workflows. So things that require very complex coding you can do. All right, so that's a little bit about the tools. Now, if my live meeting is working as I hoped, I should be able to toggle back and forth and talk about some of the stuff on the right-hand side of my little outline here. So I mentioned the new architecture. I talked about composite applications. Template-driven, what does that mean? Everything in SharePoint, you're building from a predefined schema or template. So when you create a new list, it's based on something called a content type. When you create a new site, you pick a site template. And they did a decent job in 2007 of giving you some out of the box, and you could download them from third parties. In 2010, it's much, much stronger, the concept of templating. And you're going to see a lot of companies build their business just on building templates for SharePoint, to the point where you could build an entire asset tracking system or HR management for a small business. Could be one template. And then a company that buys into the SharePoint world, even if they're a company with, say, 25 employees, they'll be able to go to a website, probably download a free HR application, just install it in SharePoint rather than buy a custom product. So there's a market there for developers to create those templates. There's another market for consultants or integrators to take those templates and go introduce them to customers, show them how easy this is to do, and maybe teach them how to use the templates. And then there's another market for designers to take the templates and brand them and make them look, you know, the right colors, the right legal stuff. So I'm not going to show you too much about templates. You'll see as I go through a demo some of where that fits in. So keep in mind, there's a lot of composites, there's a lot of templates, there's going to be wikis, and there's like incredible Office integration. So to make you understand all this, I am going to walk you through a demo. And no, I didn't make this up. I wish I had the time to do stuff like that. But I do have everything installed so I can show you. So let's see if we can walk through some of this demo. I'm going to go back to full screen mode. And this will show you some of the value and beauty of this product. Now, remember when I said you could download the information worker thing? Well, guess what the information worker thing comes with? It comes with a Word document. And if you open the Word document, it says, type this, do that. And that's how you learn. So this is the script. Now, this script was designed to show the features that would interest a corporate buyer. But it's also useful to learn where SharePoint's going. So we're going to go sort of walk through the script, and I'm going to point things out as we accomplish some of this. So let's go up and go to the top. Ooh, don't look at that. You're going to see that later. Pretend you didn't see that. Okay. So, search. How are we going to take over Google if we don't have search? SharePoint makes it really easy to store stuff. It stores not only documents, but other content. So little snippets of web pages. It can store lists of people, lists of links, even lists of products. Normally, we store that stuff in a corporate database. And today, if you store the products in a corporate database, you hire some programmers to write a custom application that just gets you into those products. And today, in a lot of companies, you have all your Word and Excel documents, and you put them in a J drive. Or what letter do you guys use at work? How many still use a drive letter for their documents at work? You get with the program. That stuff's 10 years old. No drive letters. No more. First of all, you shouldn't use a drive letter. You should use something called a UNC, where you use two black slashes a server name. That's a more... Well, there's something called distributed file system, which is part of Windows Server, where you don't actually tie the document library to a physical server. You make a logical naming structure. And you know, can't imagine how many clients I try to convince to do that, and they're like, oh, well, we've been doing it this way for 10 years. Yeah, there are. And if you don't apply them, you're actually costing yourself a lot of work. And that's the point. So Microsoft, they created all these better ways to store documents and file shares, and then they realized about 6-8 years ago that file shares just don't cut it, not when you get to a company with, you know, right now I'm working at Comcast, so you know, there's 100,000 people. You can't store your documents for 100,000 people in the J drive. It just doesn't work. So what you have to do, you take all your documents and put them in a much bigger system. Documentum is one of the products that's very popular in corporate America. But SharePoint can do a lot of what Documentum does. You can put millions of documents in the system. Technically, they're stored in a database behind the scenes. They're all indexed. They're backed up. The IT people are real happy with that. The trick is, how do I find a document that's going to tell me some useful information? And the answer is, you have to have a real clever search system. But you need one that's specific to your company, not Google. You can't use Google to find, you know, you can install Google inside your company. But this is Microsoft's way to index things inside your corporation. So if I were going to search, I might search for something called Gears. And if I say go, it goes out and it hits the search system and it comes back with Gears. Now, what's real interesting about this is the left-hand side. These are called refiners. So it says, would you like to know all the Gears things or just the things that Peter Kelly wrote? Or let's do any author. Or let's go down and we can go by date. We can go by different types. There's all audiences, or we'll do any confidentiality. We can even limit it and say, I know that this guy wrote something in a PowerPoint presentation. So there is the PowerPoint, and this is searching maybe through hundreds of thousands of documents. So here are my PowerPoints about gears. Here's one called Vulcan. Now, I could click on this and open it up in PowerPoint, but suppose I'm traveling, I'm at a hotel, and I'm actually at a internet kiosk. I want to open this up as PowerPoint? Probably not. It probably won't install. So one of the clever things they do in SharePoint is they allow you to view in browser. And what that does is that allows you to take any of the content and have it come up as a web page. This works for Excel, Word, PowerPoint. It works for PDFs. And in this version, in SharePoint 2010, it can actually take and show you full fidelity slides. Now, the colors look odd here because I'm connected over the internet using LogMeIn to my machine back at my office. If you were to see this on a, you know, when if I were at home, I would see rich colors and I could drill in. Yes? Yep. What does that little button up there say? We're not going to go through that, but yes, you can edit. And if you've been reading in the press, you might have read something called Office Web Apps that competes with Google Docs. This is what you're looking at. This is Office Web Apps. And that would allow somebody that didn't have SharePoint installed to actually edit these slides even when they're traveling. Didn't have Office installed, correct. So that is very important. Now notice that they make it convenient for you. Microsoft says, would you like to open this in PowerPoint because I see that you have it installed? Would you like to edit this real quick because you might be on the road, you just need to change the title? Or would you like to start a slideshow? And when you say start the slideshow, it actually comes up in a full screen slideshow and it'll sit here and you can go through the slides without having PowerPoint installed. And you can hit a right arrow and go through the slides. Now this is a technical marvel because for those of you that have seen too many slides in your life, you're going to see that many more now. Because they're making it so easy. Everybody's going to put their slides up here and they're going to be slideshows on the web. You're going to make less web pages because it's going to be easier to make slides. So you press escape, you're out of there, you do a back button, you're right back to the search. That, to me, is very productive. Notice we didn't write any code. All right. Now, that was sort of interesting. Suppose we want to search for people. Now, it's one thing to search for documents, but if you're in a big company, 100,000 people, I want to know who in the company knows about gears. So, since I'm searching for gears, these are people that know about gears, and this guy is rated the highest. Now, if we go to him, we can say, gee, I wonder who Tad reports to. You click on that, and it brings up, he's a good-looking guy, isn't he? Okay, apparently. Now, this is cool, and this is another thing you want to know as a developer. This is very clever. Ooh, look at that. Can I hear some noise in the background, please? Yay. Ooh, this is that rich internet stuff. In fact, if I right click, this is all Silverlight. So this is Silverlight looking at the profile information that's stored in SharePoint that is synchronized with Active Directory, which is the same crap that makes Exchange work to make your Outlook email work in a big company. So if your Outlook knows that you report to so-and-so, so does SharePoint, and you can write little widgets like this that look at that hierarchy and display it real fancy with the pictures. Now, oddly enough, the pictures aren't stored in Outlook. They never did that. So when you import everything into SharePoint, you can specify that you want to put pictures there, and oftentimes what'll happen is you can integrate with an HR system. You might have SAP or something like that, or some big, you know, big expensive human resource application, PeopleSoft. PeopleSoft has your picture in it. So you can program SharePoint to go get the names from Active Directory, match them with the pictures and maybe your official job title from PeopleSoft, and all that appears in this interface. So this is the kind of interesting development that you can do, and a lot of companies are looking at SharePoint because it standardizes the interface across your entire enterprise. And by standardizing the interface, that reduces training cost. And we can lay off more people. And now we can make more money, right? This is how the world works. I just okay, but what's going to happen if they're going to standardize this interface? Then as a corporate developer, I want to get in on this. And yes, there's still a lot of work to do. That's why SharePoint consultants are in such demand now. Right, Mike? Absolutely. So down here, there's some other cool stuff that they have. You can actually go in here and you can see what documents this guy has. You can see what tags and notes he has. And I don't have time to show you all of this today, but there's a lot of social networking built in. This is not necessarily Facebook. It's actually business-like. I mean, Facebook is, we're in a very interesting position here because our daughter is 20. So that means she's third year in college, which means she's got a Facebook page. She is queen of Facebook. All her parties, everything is there. And this year she started to interview. So what happens? So she, it was great because over the holidays she said, Mom and Dad, I just spent like 3 hours cleaning up Facebook and nobody can see me drinking anymore. We were so proud of her. But the point is that Facebook is such a craze with the younger set. This is going to do for corporate what Facebook does for, you know, that age. Yes. The people searching stuff, not much. So that's a very good question. They don't call it WSS anymore. It's WSF, SharePoint Foundation. And then it's called SharePoint Server. It's no longer called MOS or Office Server. It's SharePoint Server. But a lot of the programming and the editing stuff I'm going to show you is in WSF, but the people management, that requires server. So, all right, let's move on here. So there's a lot of cool stuff you can do. You can, like, tag content. You can leave notes and like, it's like writing on somebody's wall. Yes? Yes. Both. You can do both. So the integration, the complex part of the background, that's like the big bucks consulting. How do you get SharePoint to talk to PeopleSoft? Read in real time. There's a lot of interesting work going on there. All right, so that was a little bit about search. So let me go into the next section of the demo. So I will go to the down here, and I probably showed you enough about search. Let's go down here and... there's the My site. See, they have all this stuff in Explain You. All right, let's talk a little bit about document management. So suppose you want to keep track of a whole bunch of Word documents or PowerPoints or things like that. So what I'd want to do is I want to go in here, and I'm going to go to Shared New Product Documents. And actually, that's the wrong page, my mistake. So I'm going to go here to the Document Center. And in here, they have customized the home page here. So it has what are called roll-ups and filters, content queries, where it's actually bringing you like the top 10 documents or the most used or the most popular. And very easy to customize all this. Notice that you can put like a custom button so that a person doesn't have to know. Even an executive could look at this and say, ooh, upload a document. I could do that. So that's how you get a document in here. The trick is, if you're putting all your documents in one place, how do you find them? How do you rank them? So to show you that, I'm going to go into the document library. And there's some cool stuff you can do here. All documents and all lists and libraries in SharePoint have this capability of having filtering and sorting. So here, I just told all the documents to sort in order of rating. And I probably should sort them highest to lowest. Okay?
Do you realize that George is gone? That's not all the time.
Yeah, and it's rude for you to come in and say that. So have a nice day. Okay, now, that was sorting. This is filtering. So I drop down, and what's nice, from a developer perspective, every list in SharePoint has this built in. So if you put your data into SharePoint, you don't have to custom code all this. It just comes for free. So here I could say, give me everything that's highly rated for all audiences. So that's sort of out-of-the-box WSF functionality. Things get a little fancier in Office Server because then you can do metadata tagging. That's the thing on the left. So you could actually do this and say, I want all the documents that have to do with gears. In fact, of the documents that have to do with gears, I want to find something called a content type, and I want just the product data sheets. When I click Apply, it has now filtered all the product data sheets that are of type gears, and then I can say I want all of those for all audiences. So the point here is I can use all these tools to refine and find exactly the documents I want. Okay? Now, next thing I'm going to show you, a little bit about editing. Everything in SharePoint 2010 uses the ribbon and uses this concept of wikis. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go to the product incubation site. Now you'll notice up on the top there are some buttons. And some people don't like these buttons and they say, oh, I want to get rid of these. But they're very functional. When you drop this down, it gives you a whole bunch of menu choices that you can use to customize your site. Over on the right-hand side, I can change who I am. I can log in as a different user. The ones that are new and curious are the ones across the top left. And you'll notice that a page is typically in browse mode, or I can click page and I actually get a ribbon that has to do with this page. I can also have custom commands that a programmer could have added to the page. When I go in here, I can click edit, and now I go into edit mode. Now, edit mode is using wiki technology. And what that means is I can do in-place editing. Not only can I do in-place editing, I can go and take this stuff, and I can change colors, I can do stuff like that. Pink, that's just not right. We'll make it red. Okay? So I can do what I would call office-like editing right in a web page. Now, for those of you that are developers, this is all done using dynamic HTML. How did they do that? How did they take product incubation and allow you to see the fonts as you mouse over the menu items? And the reason they did this, that's what people expect, because that's what Office 2007 does. They're trying to make a web page work like Office 2007. Not a simple thing to do, but they've done it, and it works pretty well. So that's editing in place. Now, remember I said wikis. If you paste in some information, like please review, notice the two left brackets. When you're doing wiki work, and of course we all love Wikipedia, similar. When I hit the colon, I don't know if it's going to show up here. All right, I might need to actually type this. But what's supposed to happen? What's that? I swear to God, I'm missing something here, but what's supposed to happen here is as you type, it actually does IntelliSense and autocomplete, and it'll actually tell you what items are available. It's all right that you don't see that right now, but this is a syntax. It says, I know I have a document in a folder called shared documents in a list called, in a list called shared documents, and the document is called greatwhiteoverview.docx. Now, when I'm done with the page, I just click save. It automatically takes me out of edit mode. I now have the page in what's called browse mode. I see my color and font changes, and you also notice that please review is already highlighted. If I click that, it knows it's a document and automatically goes and either creates it or pulls it up. So the idea is that an end user, without knowing all of the HTML, you know, anchor tag, that's what an A stands for. So an A tag or an href or something like that, they can actually make nice web pages that link to other documents and things with very little work. That's a much longer discussion, but not only can you edit a page, when you edit it, you can set it up so you have to check it out first. And if it's checked out, no one else can edit it until you check it back in. You can also do versions. You can do workflow approval. I mean, I'm just skimming the surface here. Now, the other thing that is very clever is that when I'm in edit mode, and most of you are familiar with this from Office 2007, what would happen if I would click on a picture? Okay, now let's look. Watch the ribbon up top. Over here, I'm going to click on the word new. Did you see something go away? What happens when I click on a picture? In the background, it pops up a new menu. In fact, if I click on that, I now have tools that can position, style. In fact, let's go to the style, and let's put, ugly, nasty, I don't need a border. But notice the same idea applies to pictures that applies to fonts. In fact, you can resize a picture that easily. You don't have to go get the graphics dude to get his Mac out and take his iPod headphones out so that he can resize the graphic so that he can put it up on the website for you. You can do it yourself. Very useful stuff. Yeah, it does. You're right. And it look at the size and everything. So technically it does change the view of it. That's correct. So you have to still think a little bit when you upload that 4-megapixel photo of yourself. So, all right. Now, suppose you decided that you were foolish and you didn't want to do all this, then you just stop editing. And it goes away, and you say, no, I don't want to save my changes. So that's a really nice editing experience. In fact, in 2010, you rarely use SharePoint Designer to edit the layout of a page. It's used to do other stuff, like more technical things like content types. All of the page editing you do right in place. So in-place editing is significant. Okay, what else are we going to do here? Let's talk a little bit about documents. And we're going to do external lists first. I'll show you external lists. So there's a really new, exciting feature called BCS. And you can see here, Business Connectivity Services. And this sort of existed SharePoint 2007. It had a weirder name, Business Data Catalog. And it was really, really techy and hard to get to work. In 2010, they made this really straightforward, and they've made it so it works in Windows SharePoint Foundation. And what this allows you to do is take SQL data from a database or a web service and have it appear in SharePoint as any other list or library. Now, to make that work, we're going to go to SharePoint Designer. And we're going to go to external content types. And you'll see that I already have two external content types. And if I click on one of these, you'll see that an external content type has a series of field names stored with their data types. It also has actions for reading, updating, and deleting. If you get into the details of this, you can connect this to a SQL database. You can use stored procedures to read or save the data if you choose. You can also connect this to a linked data source. You can use what's called OData. That's a new way Microsoft has of exposing data for services. The other thing that's really cool is you can take the data and map it to something that Microsoft Office understands. So suppose I had some data that was customers, and I said, you know, we could really map this to contacts. And then we can go in and say the customer database, the field name is the same as first name or something like that. Well, how would that play out if we were to look at this in the browser? So I'm going to go over to the browser, and I'm going to go down to the customers from CRM. And technically what it's doing here is in the background, it's doing a SQL query, and it's actually returning back SQL Server data directly to SharePoint. Now the customer looks, or the user looks at this and says, I really don't know that this is SQL data. I just see a bunch of columns. I see that I can sort them ascending and descending. I can filter them. Now you might notice that there's a slight pause. It's a little bit slower than going directly to SharePoint data, but it still works. I can go down here and I can edit these babies. So I can take one of these records and I can say Alfred is, let's see, I'll make him, we'll make this Arpon Smith, and we can save that. So that gives you the idea of what it's like to edit data, even though this is going to SQL Server. I can actually do in-place editing. Okay, this one doesn't support that, but they do have, there are samples where you can do in-place editing. Now, what's really interesting in this list is I could take this list and I could connect it to Outlook. Oh, apparently I don't have that set up correctly, so I'm going to skip over that. Let me go back to the list. The other thing I can show you with this is I can sync this to a SharePoint workspace. Now, SharePoint Workspace is actually a new Microsoft product name based on technology they got from Groove. So Microsoft bought out a company. There's a guy named Ray Ozzie who invented Lotus 1-2-3 and then later invented Groove. They bought the technology from him, and they retooled it, and they made Groove the way to do SharePoint offline. So what that means, you have all this cool stuff in your corporation, all these documents, lists, and things stored in SharePoint, consistent interface. But some people have to work at home. Some people have to travel in airplanes. What you can do with SharePoint Workspace is you can take your lists and libraries with you. And when you do that, you can actually edit the data while you're on the plane using the same forms you see in SharePoint. So if I go down here to customers from CRM, if the gods are with us today, I'm actually going to be able to see the customer data, which normally would be in SQL Server, and see how it says it's synchronizing. I can go down here and I can have Arpon Smith, and I can take him and change him to let's see, Arpon Utley. I'm a Phillies fan. It just doesn't sound right to be to call this. And I might need to go into edit mode here. Not sure. I forget. I'll open it. Okay. So we'll call him. He's related to Chase Utley. I'm going to save and close. Okay, and then what happens here is that this list at some point needs to be synchronized. So there are tools in here for synchronization, and I can say sync this with the server, and it actually connects up to SharePoint when you're back in the hotel room or whatever. It synchronizes all your changes, and then if we go back here, you'll notice it says Arpan Smith, but we would have to refresh this list. And I'll just go, because that'll be an easy way to refresh. I can use this dumb browser thing here. And you'll see that the change came from SharePoint Workspace back into SharePoint 2010. So far we learned we can take the SQL data, display it just like it was a list, give it views. We have edit forms. So the reason that's really important, it costs a lot of money in corporations to have dozens or hundreds of applications that all have a different look and feel. There are a lot of applications that companies have spent money on or written in-house that store their data in SQL Server or a similar store. Okay? If it's really easy to take that data and have it appear in SharePoint, then I can get rid of the UI for that old product, which maybe was written in FoxPro or something that's no longer supported, take the data, have it appear in SharePoint, and have the benefit of all the cool, you know, views and workflows and stuff. And I save my investment in the data without having to redefine a database. And I see a huge opportunity for developers to go out, find all these applications that have aging user interfaces, but still are SQL Server based, and put them into this new technology. All right. So that was interesting. Let's do another thing here. There are some new validation things built in. So I'm going to go to the orders list, which is on the left-hand side here. Okay. So we have orders here. And in the script, what they tell you to do is to go to the order ID column to enforce unique values. Okay, so this is something you couldn't do in 2007. So to do that, I have to go to the list settings. So I go over here to the settings and go down to order ID. And somewhere down here, it says enforce unique values, yes. I already had it set. And then we can say this is required. Okay. Also notice that the order ID has to be greater than 3 characters. So some of this stuff is new, the validation stuff. So if we were going to go in to this particular list and make a new item, and we try and add an item that has 2 characters, oh, order ID is the one that had to be more than 2 characters. So we'll say test an order ID of 54, and we click save. It actually comes up with validation. Now, again, with the idea of composite development, I didn't have to get a programmer to do this. I just configured it in the order ID column, and I just said, this has to be greater than 2 characters. Same thing, you'll notice here that there's an order ID of 1554. If I make a new one and I put 1554, wrong place again. So we're going to do another test, and we're going to try and say 1554. It's actually going to go back to the server and says that this is a unique value. So you get that nice user consistency without a lot of work. And that's valuable.
Is that just changing it there?
Technically, that's all client side validation. So, well, it can do both. It can do both. That constraint is not from SQL Server. That constraint is in the form design. So what you normally want to do is the developer wants to make sure that the form is sort of has the same business rules or logic that the server does. There are some systems where it can actually read from the server and automatically figure out that has to happen. That often doesn't work, but you know, it's a complex thing to do. But the point here is that they're putting a lot more of that kind of power into the business analyst or composite developer's hands than the Visual Studio kind of guy. All right, got a couple more things to show you. Got another 5 or 10 minutes. So, document management. There's a new thing here that's very useful. It's called document sets. So let's take a look at this. So to do document sets, we're going to go to new product documents. So there are a couple documents here. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to go to the documents ribbon, and I'm going to make something called a document set. Now, a document set can have a name. And down here, it can have a category. Now, remember earlier I showed you this concept of tagging? You can actually make it so that there's a corporate hierarchy, or what they call a taxonomy. So all your products, all the stuff you sell. And I want to relate this to gears. You can actually do multiple if you want. So I'm going to relate this to gears, and I'll just say sharks is the code name here. Now, remember, we were working with a couple guys. I think Brad Sutton was one of them. You can look up the person. Whoops. It's Brad S. So this brings up that concept of people and taxonomy classification that works with the search system. And when you create this document set, what a document set does is it allows you to take multiple documents and treat them as a package. So in SharePoint 2007, each document is sort of handled separately. It has versioning, it has columns of metadata. In 2010, you can create a set of documents, think like legal or like HR. In HR, I might have 15 documents that have to do with one employee. So I put them all in a document set. Then I can apply workflow and tagging to the set instead of having to tag each individual document. Yes? Well, yes, a document set would change all of them at the same time, yes. But a lot of that importing and metadata management is much easier in 2010. They actually have like sort of smart folders. As you load the data in, it can automatically tag it based on some, you know, heuristics. So. All right, that was fun. So, I already showed you a little bit about working offline with SharePoint Workspace, but I wanted to show you something more important. So, in the customer feedback, there's another sample site here. So, here is a form where customers would do feedback. If I add a new item, it brings up a pretty form. And by pretty, it's not plain old HTML stuff. This pretty form was made in InfoPath. So another tool that you want to be aware of for SharePoint development is that InfoPath forms become much more prevalent in 2010. In 2007, you could make an InfoPath form and sort of store it and sort of keep track of the data. But in 2010, it's all over the place. So you're going to see forums that have this look and feel instead of just plain old fill in the boxes. Now, what does that mean? Well, this particular form, notice that it has the ability to select from a picture list. It has nice drop downs. And if once you pick this, notice that this changed, and then you could submit and make the a form that way. Now, what's fascinating, even though you have these complex InfoPath forms, and I'm running out of time, so I can't show you how to edit those, but there's an editor in InfoPath, which is part of Microsoft Office. If I take this list and I go into SharePoint Workspace, come on, you can do it. Notice that the same form, the same InfoPath form, actually works in SharePoint Workspace. So you can use it when you're offline in the airplane. That's very clever technology. Okay. Workflows. We got about four or five other categories, and I got about 5 minutes. So, yes, you can do workflows in SharePoint. You could do them in 2007. Technically, you're using Microsoft's workflow foundation out of .NET. The workflows can be created by picking them using the web, the settings in the web browser. Or the new trick is you can use Visio. Now, when you use Visio, if I go to recent documents, this is a graphical workflow that I can actually see things like, you know, what happened to the document, send a repository. And on the left-hand side, there is actually a series of tools that you can drag on to your Visio to make a business process flow. This allows somebody that understands, you know, business process to get involved. They make the Visio, and then they go up here and they say export that to SharePoint. This goes into SharePoint, and SharePoint actually turns it into a workflow and runs it. Okay? Now, you can also make your workflows. I'm just going to jump out of that. You can also make your workflows in SharePoint Designer. And when you're in SharePoint Designer, you click on the workflow, you see the statistics or the definition of that workflow, and when you click edit, you actually have not as much a graphical designer, but sort of a guided text-based designer. So you click here, and it actually tells you, like, what do you want to do with the document? Let's copy it, move it. So a lot of things that you need to do that are routine workflows can be done in SharePoint Designer and then hosted in SharePoint Server. All of this works in SharePoint Foundation. Now, the final step, if you want to do extremely complex workflows, you can actually take them, start them in SharePoint Designer, then load them into Visual Studio, and in Visual Studio, you can write a bunch of .NET C# code to make them do fancy stuff. Okay? So I don't have time to show you a workflow running. Just be aware that all of that's available. Let's finish off the last 3 or 4 minutes with some eye candy. So what else do people buy SharePoint for? They buy it for this. If you're in a company, you got a lot of data, you're trying to make money, you're always trying to figure out, did I make enough money? To do that, you have to make pretty charts. Okay? They hire a whole bunch of people that dress nice. They tend to sit in the higher floors in the company. They get paid more, and they make charts. Their charts look like this. Hopefully not. Well, yeah. Yes. This is Enron around 2006. It went down the toilet there. Anyways, the concept here is that SharePoint is very good at displaying Office documents, especially in 2010. So this is a document that I can actually move around in. I can actually click on stuff. You know, that's pretty useful. Notice on the bottom, it actually has the little tabs. I can go look at the data. I can go look at the pivot table. Pretty good response time. Now, if I click this, it'll actually open it in Excel just the way we did earlier when I showed you the PowerPoint. So that's pretty useful. I can go down here. I can add slicers. I can do all sorts of fancy stuff that you would do with pivot tables. I'm going to quit out of this. Also noticed I can do search, find. You can also all sorts of clever things here. If that weren't enough, these people at Microsoft said, well, gee, why should I just be able to show you PowerPoint and Excel? And, of course, they can show you Word as a web page. They've really outdone themselves this time because now they can actually show you Access and they can show you Visio. So they have a new thing called Visio Services that actually takes a Visio application, a drawing, and makes it appear as a web page. You can actually have this linked to different, like, you can have links in here, and notice that you have zooming. So you can do like a business process workflow, or, you know, some, this is a business supply chain, and you can actually come down here, click on this, and have this go like to another web page. Very slick stuff. And of course, as you can imagine, you can open this in Visio and edit it. Finally, there's something called Performance Point. And Performance Point is the final piece of the BI puzzle in SharePoint. And it's used to do a very complex analysis of business data. And somewhere in the background here, Performance Point used to be a separate product. In 2010, it's actually built in here. And you could actually do financial drill downs. And go down here and you can see key performance indicators, KPIs. And there's just way too much stuff to look at here, but if I go back, you could actually drill down into the charts. It's very slick stuff. So, we're just about through the little demo here. So, as I told you, the demo is part of the Information Worker 2010 beta. You can download that. I really don't have slides that you can download because everything I showed you was sort of hands-on. If I go back to my OneNote slides. Here's all the things I covered in that little demo. So we did the search, we did the document metadata, we edited, we did SharePoint Designer, external lists, we validated, we did document sets, taxonomies, offline with SharePoint, we did InfoPath, we looked at workflows, business intelligence, Visio, Performance Point. Also, we covered these things here, the tools. I showed you a little bit about Designer, a little bit about Visual Studio, and I mentioned Expression. So those are really the things you want to learn as a developer. The bottom line is you're going to do less coding in the future, more development like this, which I call composite application development. This product is going to sell like crazy, worthwhile to learn. So with that, I hope you had a good time, and I'll stick around for a couple minutes for questions. I need to close down my Well, does anybody have any questions? Because we're just about ready to close down the recording. Yes. Does InfoPath 2010 integrate with master pages and content pages, which are used in publishing sites? I'm not sure about that. I haven't looked into that. Any other questions? Yes. Oh, okay. You're asking how would you, one of the things that's really tricky, how do I deploy a composite application so that it can be tested in a QA lab and then pushed to production? And that's sort of beyond this talk, but there are some tools they have to make that work. If you're doing custom Visual Studio development, which is when I mentioned that, there are ways that you can create packages where you would take your custom solution and then deploy that package to a separate QA or production farm. So that's sort of a more complex enterprise consulting would be involved with that. If you're in a small shop, most people will most likely just develop right on the production box. That's very common. So any other questions? Yes. I haven't tried to do a linked spreadsheet yet, so sorry. Well, then it's supported. What we didn't mention is that this officially releases end of April, early May. So, and if, for those of you that live in the area, most of you do, we're running a conference called SharePoint Saturday on May 8th. And it's going to be an entire day, not quite as big as CodeCamp, but I think we're going to have like 7 rooms and all SharePoint stuff. So sign up for that. Right here. So, all right, I've got to go. So thanks for coming, and have a nice day.